Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Alan Gagbashian is in our studio. He is the UK Consul General, here to talk a little bit about the UN Climate Change Conference in Glasgow and also travel and a few other things as well. Welcome to the studios at WGN. How are you?
Doing well, John. Thanks for having me.
Did you have crazy, dangerous toys when you were a kid?
I'm trying to think back. Nothing as crazy as a needle. That's pretty extreme.
That's not
my dad was a doctor, but he didn't bring those kind of things home.
Yeah, no kidding. So tell me just a little bit about yourself. You've been in this country for a couple of years, right?
Yeah, I'll be 2 years in January. So I arrived a couple of months before the pandemic really hit the city.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'll bet you told all your family, I'll be in Chicago. You'll come visit. It's a great city to see.
Yeah, everyone had booked tickets, and that got put on hold. Yeah. But I live in this incredible city, which we absolutely love, and I also cover 14 other states.
Oh, I see.
So I get around as much as I can, especially now that I'm catching up after restrictions have lifted.
We'll talk about that climate change conference in a second, but when you tell your family and friends you're in Chicago, they know you're here, what reaction do you get? Do they worry about your well-being because of the news about the crime in Chicago?
Oh, no. The first question I always get is, do you have a spare bedroom and when can I come?
Still, I mean, I'm serious because I've got family and friends or people I meet in the suburban area of Chicago that are afraid to come downtown. That's a recurring theme on this radio station. You don't feel that from your friends overseas.
We don't feel that in the UK in that way. And you know, now that the travel restrictions from Europe to the US are lifting, about to lift next week. I've had so many people wanting to come and visit, and the flights are filling up really quickly. So I think folks back in Europe are desperate to get back to the US, including Chicago.
I know people who have flown to Europe recently, and the UK for that matter, and the planes were not full going over, maybe because they can't be full coming back. Europeans can't travel as easily, well, frankly, at all to the United States until the, I think, 8th of November. So yeah, in just a few days, our travel expert said he thinks we're going to notice a difference in cities like Chicago.
I think so, yeah. It's been strange because I remember when I first arrived, walking down Michigan Avenue to hear so many foreign languages and people from around the world clearly coming here and enjoying their time as tourists. And I think we've all missed that in the city.
Yeah, now that you mention it, I used to notice that all the time, too. When we worked at a studio that was at street level, we'd talk to the passersby and often listen in. And it was a medley of languages, not so much now. If I go to London, what should I see? What's the first stop?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, London is a city of neighborhoods, a bit like Chicago. I mean, that's what one of the things we love so much about living here is you've got this distinctive neighborhood culture. And London is so much like that. So it depends what you want. You know, if you want something bohemian, if you want something kind of hipster, if you want, you know, a great culinary experience. So you've got something for everyone. So I'd ask you, John, what's your thing? And I'll tell you where to go.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, I would say a unique neighborhood. You know what? I'm a tourist. So I do want to see Big Ben. You know, I want to see the major tourist attractions. And then I would like to be surprised by a place that I could go to and there would be cool shops and markets.
Well, in that case, definitely start at Big Ben. You've got everything around there. You've got the Houses of Parliament. Buckingham Palace is a short walk. You've got Westminster Abbey, Trafalgar Square. So you can do all that. And then to be surprised, I would go east, maybe Dalston, Shoreditch, one of those areas.
Dalston or Shoreditch. Yeah. Don't know where that is, but I'm going to make a mental note of that. And thank you for not asking me the question in return, because it's impossible to answer. I would say go to the Bean. I would say go to our Millennium Park for one thing. I would say take a riverboat trip up and down the Chicago River. The architecture tours are legend around here. And then for a neighbor, I would say make sure you eat a deep dish pizza, even if you don't understand it. And then after that, I'd say, well, what are you into before I picked a neighborhood? It's at 10:15. I want to talk about the climate change conference and the voice. Alan Gagbashian is in our studio. He is the UK Consul General right downtown Chicago. This representative of the UK is here. What was your take on the or has it been on the climate conference in Glasgow? What are you hearing from your colleagues over there?
So it's just started. It started on Sunday. And we had over 120 world leaders taking part in the start of the conference. It's in Glasgow, Scotland. It's the biggest summit the UK has ever hosted. And I would say it's the most important summit the UK has ever hosted. I mean, the stakes couldn't be higher. The UN Secretary General opened the summit talking about how the planet is in a code red footing. And so we understand the stakes are extremely high. And the UK as host and Boris Johnson as Prime Minister has been really pushing everyone attending to be as ambitious as possible in its climate action commitments.
He said things like, I think you've got to be doom and gloom until we fix this thing. He sounded aggressive. He said the threat is huge, and I think it's been humbling to listen to the testimonies from countries like Bangladesh and Seychelles on the front line. Does that represent in any way a change of heart for him? Has he always been so pro-climate change, if you will?
I think it's always been very important for this government. I think that's why we really pushed to host the summit. And it's something that the UK's been doing itself when it comes to domestic policy. So we've had some very forward climate action policies for a while. We're the first major economy to legislate for net zero emissions by 2050. We are trying to cut emissions by 68% by 2030. That's compared to 1990 levels. So we try and live by example in the UK and encourage others to step up and do the same.
You know, when you think of a country like the Netherlands or some places that are surrounded by water, as the UK is, but in some places it seems to be more acute. Do you all notice that, or are you fearful of rising ocean levels in the UK?
Absolutely. I think like everyone, you know, it doesn't matter if you're in the UK, Netherlands, Chicago, wherever you are, we've all noticed ourselves that climate patterns aren't what we remember them to be when we were kids. And that's even before you get into extreme situations like, you know, the derecho winds and we saw in the Midwest and the fires that we've seen on the West Coast and around the world. So I think we all notice it. But it's really time to turn climate kind of ambition into climate action. That's what this summit is about.
How dependent is the UK on fossil fuels?
We're transitioning away from fossil fuels. We've really committed to move away from fossil fuels by 2025. We have the biggest offshore wind production in the world in terms of capacity. So we've been pivoting to renewables for some time now. And that's definitely the direction we're heading in.
I think we're heading in that direction, but with what pace has been a subject of political debate in this country, and for some people it's not quick enough, is the same debate exists there? You have coal, you have fossil fuels. Is there pushback from people who work in that sector?
I think generally public opinion is fully behind the climate action agenda in the UK, regardless of your political persuasion. So in that sense, there's a lot of public support for these policies. But you're absolutely right. I mean, for fossil fuel communities, it hasn't been easy. And I think it's so important that governments think very carefully about equitable transition and just transition. And in the UK, we've been looking at policies to help and support those communities. And I know that's something that's been an important part of Illinois' approach with the legislation that they've just enacted in September here.
Which one are you talking about there?
The Clean and Equitable Jobs Act, CEJA. That was passed into law in September, and it's actually an incredibly progressive piece of climate action legislation, which I think will have a really positive influence on the economy here while promoting sustainable growth and looking out for some of those communities we've talked about.
We have policies in the U.S. too that do things like subsidize electric car purchases. Do you have policies like that in the U.K.?
Yes, absolutely. So I think the government in the U.K. has really been pushing a number of policies to transition to electric vehicles. So we have we'll be phasing out the sale of gasoline-fueled and diesel-fueled cars by 2030. You won't be able to buy one of those in the UK in 9 years' time. So that's absolutely the direction that we're heading in.
Hmm. By the way, you mentioned diesel and gas-powered cars, and for some reason I started to think about the trucks driving around this country and the absence we have of truck drivers and supply chain issues. So I'm on a tangent now. Have you all suffered the same sort of supply issues in the UK that we have in the US?
Yeah, we absolutely have. And we've had the same challenges with truck drivers that you've had in the US. So it's become a trend around the world. That's something that when we get together as a G7, we talk about how what can we do to make sure that we keep supply chains as open as possible and to keep trade and movement flowing in as frictionless a way as possible. It's, it hasn't been easy since the pandemic, that's for sure. But we are talking to countries like the U.S. and other partners and looking at a global solution to that.
So is your pandemic experience, I keep saying you are, I know you're a Chicagoan for a couple of years now, but has England's pandemic experience been similar to that in the U.S.? Or how has it been different, would you say?
Well, we all struggled. I mean, it was it's been a tragedy for everybody, and of course, the UK's seen its share of that tragedy. So it has not been easy. I think one thing that has gone well has been the vaccine rollout. I think the fact that we have a national health service that's one distribution system for the whole country helped a lot in terms of getting vaccines across the whole of the country at a relative speed. So we have a high prevalence rate of vaccination.
Versus the way the U.S. did it, which was scattershot, but I don't know, relatively effective once it got rolling, but you could have got it at this drugstore or that drugstore or from this county health department or maybe from a drive-up at the United Center. It was somewhat random, I think, because of the urgency here. I guess what I'm saying is I'm not Monday morning quarterbacking the coordination of it because we didn't anticipate a pandemic. It was more coordinated in the UK, though?
I think it's, I mean, they're very different health care systems, so it's hard to compare. But I do know the fact that, you know, you mentioned that, you know, it was done through pharmacies and drugstores. I could just walk around the corner to my Walgreens and get my shot. That's what I did. So I found it very easy.
Here in the U.S.?
In the U.S., yeah.
Yeah, no kidding. John Williams, it says here, please ask him about the important people that fly to these conferences. We always get this sort of thing. It's always ironic that you have an environment summit and everybody flies in sometimes on private or personal jets. You have a reaction to that in any way?
Well, that's, of course, yeah, a challenge. I think what's important is you get all the right people in the room. And I hope, you know, people will make decisions based on environmental factors when they have choices about how to travel. What's important for us is when it comes to the COP26 summit right now, that it's not just the world leaders there speaking on the stage. We call it an all-of-society climate summit. So we need business to be represented. We need young people to be represented. We need civil society and think tanks to be at the table, because to get a solution to this catastrophe, potential catastrophe, everyone has a stake and needs to be have their voice heard.
You know, and my wisdom on this, too, is that we tend to treat things like this the way we did COVID in various states in the U.S. I'll worry about it when it gets here. So Florida was sort of thumbing its nose at the draconian shutdowns of New York until Florida got the COVID bad. And I think the world reacts the same way to climate change. Well, until the water comes up on my shores, I'm not too exercised or animated about this. And I think that's a fool's errand, because eventually, if it's coming to Bangladesh, it's going to come to you. We need to be proactive. We almost need to be empathetic, don't we?
Absolutely. And I think, I mean, today, each day has a theme during COP26, and today is the finance day. And it's all about what developed countries can do to step up in their financial commitments to help support developing countries meet their kind of climate goals. Because it's all well and good us asking people to cut their climate, their carbon emissions, but they need financial support to have technology in place and infrastructure in place to make that happen. So it's about the richer countries really showing that financial support to the developing world.
The UK Consul General, Alan Gagbashian, in our studio. We're out of time today, but you're a neighbor. We should get together more often. Thanks for coming by today.
I would love that. Thanks, John.
And good luck to Earth with this conference in Scotland.